Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ready, gents?
Ready.
This is the last time we're all going to be in a room together for a few weeks.
Yeah, until probably May.
What?
Ridiculously.
Really?
Wow.
Maybe the very last weekend of April.
So lucky, isn't it, that one of the three of us is a model professional and will be here throughout, sailing this pirate ship on his own.
Well, in the meantime, don't worry. We're going to have... It's going to be kind of a Frankenstein's monster of a podcast with little bits and bobs here and there. However, it's going to be no less... high quality, and let's get into it then. Hands in, pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod!
It's currently Thursday, the 2nd of April, 2015, as we're recording this part of the podcast.
And I am still in my rugby gear.
And we're going to time travel back to when JB and Phil joined the BT Sport Tour de Flats tour.
Indeed we did.
So this is David Flatman... driving the length and breadth of the land, picking up some of his old pals, picking up rugby legends, and having a little bit of a natter and exploring the green and pleasant lands of England. I didn't get to go to this one because I had kids to watch. You two went. How was it?
Exciting.
It's exciting. And you're a bit nervous because you're meeting a couple of heroes, especially if you're English, which I'm not, but they are heroes. But then you realise they're basically the same age as us.
Yeah, no.
That's a weird bit. Like, what's Paul Short like? 34? I'm 31.
Yeah, I remember Flats propping for England like back in 2002.
Yeah.
When I think of myself as being a kid, but he's only like 3-4 years older than me. So we travelled over to Sheffield, parked up in a Travel Lodge car park.
And then the magic happened.
We were sat there waiting. And the convoy, the collective convoy, it was two Land Rover Discoveries.
It was like a presidential motorcade.
Of two, just the two Land Rover Discoveries, fully kitted out, turned up. And then we got some time with Flatman and Mr. Bolshaw.
Mm.
Well, we're going to hear that very soon. Also, you're going to hear Phil and JB's reaction to the weekend's rugby, because we will be putting a little bit in time travelling forward to after the weekend's rugby. So we'll get some reaction to the games. And we've also got some other odds and sods as well. Not least, Phil, you've turned up with a package. What have you got in that little envelope there?
I have. Got a little package that I've been sent.
Sorry, I'm just gonna clip.
Ooh,
isolate
what
that. No, JB, you missed that. I'm gonna isolate that little sentence there, Phil going, yes, I have got a little package.
Nice little drop. Was it? Is it edible?
It's not edible, unfortunately.
It's not edible.
It's all the way from San Luis, California.
What?
It is...
Yes!
Some MMA ears.
Nice!
There's two for you. There's two for you, Tim.
So have I got the same ear?
Wait.
You're going to have to explain this.
So the cauliflower ears is at MMA ears on Twitter.
So do MMA wrestlers actually wear these then? So I've got them on now and it's everything...
You look very good, Tim.
Well, yeah. The idea is, I mean, in the UK you get cauliflower ears because you play rugby.
Yeah.
In America you only get it if you wrestle. And that's a pretty tough one to spot. So, apparently, people go and hit their ears with rocks so everyone thinks that they do jiu-jitsu. Not everybody,
I'm going to dob my brother in it. Plays for London Irish, and he's legitimately got some cauliflower ears that he's earned over many years of playing Premiership rugby. But he used to, when he was a teenager, rub his ears. I'm walking in his bedroom and he'd be rubbing his ear just to try and get the look of a...
At least he wasn't rubbing anything else.
No comment on that.
I had a few years ago where I was playing against Blackheath, got a boot to the lip, and my lip split open, had about six stitches, went off to hospital, had about six stitches in my lip. When I got back to the rugby club 2 hours later, everyone was like, God, your lip looks bad. And what the hell's happened to your ear? And I'd had a proper cauliflower ear, so it basically exploded. It felt like a jam donut. It was like four times its normal size. I saw an ENT special, ear, nose and throat specialist, who drained it properly, which is horrible.
Is it? Mine didn't feel bad at all.
It's really difficult to block the nerves to your ears. So he puts some anaesthetic in. It didn't actually do anything. And then he slices into your ear and squeezes all the congealed blood out of it.
Oh, no wonder that hurt.
Well, just to explain, these are little plastic ears that go over your ears. You basically look like Stuart Hooper.
Cauliflowerears.com said it's the foam finger for combat sports.
So I love it.
So it's also for the fans to show their allegiances and some of their branding. So I think it is more applicable for fans.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Cool.
Listen, I'll tell you what we've got coming up. We've got a special Easter 15, which we've had loads of help with on Twitter and Facebook and whatnot already. So thank you for that. If you got involved, you can catch us on Twitter at Rugby Podcast. You can find us on Facebook and subscribe on iTunes. And we're on the Acast app is where you may well be listening right now. But what we're going to do now is we're going to jump back in time to when JB and Phil were picked up in a car park by two strapping rugby men. David Flatman on BT Sports Tour de Flats. You're going to see that on the Rugby Tonight programme over the coming weeks, and you will have already seen one on Monday night's show. Let's go back in time then.
I can't actually remember the last time I was picked up in the car park of a travel lodge, but I don't suppose it's a story for
you. Okay,
we've all been there. We've all been there, you know. And, you know, sometimes you just need the money, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. So what are you boys actually doing then?
It's a good question. We are travelling to the most easterly, southerly, westerly, northerly points of the English Rugby World Cup venue map. Okay, that's a bit of a mouthful. So to abbreviate it, we're going to the furthest away grounds that what games are going to be at.
Furthest east. So who is that then? Sandy Park? Is that Sandy Park?
That is Olympic Stadium.
Olympic Stadium, Sandy Park's in the
south. Sandy Park's in the west.
Millennium is in Wales.
No, Sandy Park was the most southerly.
Southerly, yeah.
Is that more southerly than Brighton?
Evidently it is. I didn't know that either. And if it's not, we're going to pretend it is.
and try and fool everybody who watches the show.
I think, frankly, we may have gone to Exeter just because they always give you a meal ticket. And I kind of.
And it's a great club.
And it's quite near my house. Like, I live in Bath, so it's quite close. So it's happy days.
Good pies, apparently.
Yeah, and the route to Brighton from where I live is all A roads. And I said, you know, let's sacrifice the quality of the content and just go somewhere convenient, you know.
So I can't believe that you've actually gone all the way up the north of England and bypassed Sale. Steve Diamond's going to be furious.
Yeah, I mean, I doubt he'll lose much sleep over having missed us. But I think
we absolutely will. This will be another knock from the Liberal elites.
maybe you're right. Yeah, I mean,
he'll be furious.
I mean, he's probably right to.
We actually put the idea forward, didn't we?
We did.
But
we did.
The powers that be above us, Harry.
They're worried about our valuables, you know. It's and it's not the area. It's mainly Steve Hanley because a great guy, but completely amoral unit. I think we both agree on that. You know, it's more. We'd love to see Steve Diamond and Quates, but it was more about just we do our very best, sort of week to week, not just when we're working, just to try and avoid contact with Steve Hanley, really.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
How does it compare to last year going to the south of France? Similar time.
Was a lot bloody warmer.
Yeah. It is different. This is. It's a slightly different tour, but it's still. Ultimately a crack and we have a good time, and when you do telly stuff, you know, it's there is an element of repetition to everything you do, so every time you jump in the car and say, right, let's go to Newcastle or let's go to Cardiff, you do actually have to pack up the car, remove all the stuff from the car, do three takes of you leaving a car park from each angle, then put all the stuff, so it takes half an hour to get in the car and leave or more, and every time you arrive somewhere it's the same. And the vehicles have to be clean and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, right, we're setting off, but we haven't got time to stop here and here. So someone needs to go and get petrol now. Someone goes to get petrol, but that delays the 19 departure shots we have to do and all that. But it is quite a good crack.
And also the guys that we're doing it with. Yeah. the boys back there, they're good fun. Yeah, except for Val.
It's only a week. I mean, but week is quite a long time to spend with people that aren't like Bolsh and I are old mates, and the lads who work with the other players, we're all old mates. But the crew, we see each other very rarely. So to actually be in a vehicle with them and in 6 inches from their sort of nose to nose for a week is quite intense and relentless. They're very long days, but it's a great crack, and we all get on really, really nicely. So we have a good time in it. And they really know their stuff. The crew are real pros, and they've got everything planned sort of minute by minute.
Which makes
life really easy for us. Like being a rugby player, to be honest. You just get everything done for you. But they're great because if we have an idea, they'll listen to it. And if we think something's crap, they'll listen to it. And they're happy to overrule us. But today we're going to the head producer's family farm in Yorkshire because he showed me a picture of his... Dad's vintage tractor, and I said I wanted a scud, so we are now doing a feature on a vintage tractor, you know. So
I'm big into tractors. That's
yeah, me too. Really? Yeah. Well, he told me it was a David Brown, and he's just found out it's a Massey Ferguson, which is great.
Well,
but it's not
Massey Ferguson,
a David Brown.
Do only David Brown now.
Yeah, now, but I mean, it was a vintage David. Yeah, so we have a great time. We have a really good time. So
yeah, if you're up in North Yorkshire, you can find some great John Deere showrooms. I mean, they're really worth going to have a nose.
JB, I live in Somerset, mate. I've got plenty of those. You know, I'm at my local John Deere dealership rather too much. I think they see me arriving in my car and think, oh no, it's another 3 hours of our lives gone for no money. I'm not going to buy anything.
Will he be going past Leeds? Because of course there's a bit of big news out of Leeds today, or Yorkshire Carnegie.
Yeah,
we'll be going past it. We won't be stopping in. Massive news for Matt Kev Sinfield, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it big news though? It'll be 35 this year. Next season.
Big news. He's crossing codes. I never saw that coming.
No.
Seems a bit late. I mean,
Yeah. Oh, he's been, when I was a player, all through his career, he's an outstanding professional. He's a hell of a player.
I suppose, on the other hand, he is going to the sister club.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I mean. It's not the biggest news because he's moving across. He'll do a bit part, he'll probably do a bit of coaching, get some badges, and then he'll play a little bit. But
I think just to have his influence, all the experience that he's had from rugby league, to bring that to the young guys in rugby union, is priceless, I think.
Yeah.
I think he's kicking and stuff like that.
I think you can read some of that and think, well, he hasn't got long left to play, and you could often argue that it's just a nice, it's a sort of conveniently, pleasantly wrapped up piece of PR for this sort of Carnegie setup. But you know that having watched Kevin Sinfield for all these years, and obviously Bolsh, you know him and whatever, but you having watched him, you know that this is a guy that's going to take whatever role he's got very seriously. So it's not something that somebody in a pinstripe suit has decided and he's gone along with it. He will be. Whatever he's doing, he seems a sort of bloke from the outside that will try and do things very, very well. So he's one of those guys you can just tell that wherever he lands, they're going to benefit from having him there.
Yeah. And we're back from the past into the present. That was JB and Phil chatting to David Flatman and Ian Bolshaw. More from the Tour de Flats Land Rover. Because you were sat in the back of the Land Rover, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Basically spent half an hour driving round
shopping centre
Meadowhall
Meadowhall shopping
centre just off the M1 in Sheffield.
Exactly. Why not? Good company and nice cars.
Top lads, nice cars.
It seems to be the answer to every question that we posed to Flats was more scrummaging. But did you knock on more scrummaging?
When you two talking about scrummaging and tractors,
yeah,
it was unbelievable.
He loves his tractors.
Clearly. I know that now. I didn't know that before, but I know that now. But listening to the pair of you talk scrummaging, I wanted to play this music over it.
Here we go.
He could still do a job on a rugby field, couldn't he? He's still young enough and in good shape enough that he could.
I hope either both Bolshaw and Flatman never hear this, but when I see Flatman on TV...
Definitely leaving this music on for this, go on.
He does look, he just looks a little bit, you know, jolly and, you know, ex-prop-ish. He's a big man and he's in good shape too. Crushes your hand in handshake. Now, I always also thought Bolshaw was going to be like Phil's size. He's actually a pretty big bloke too.
I expected Flats to be big. He was big.
He was exactly as you'd imagine.
We had a great view of the back of his head merging into his neck, merging into his traps from where we were sat behind him. And there's not much different to distinguish the three things.
Wow.
But yeah, Bolshaw was bigger and broader shoulders than I was expecting. Looks in good shape.
We're going to hear more from that in a little bit. We've also got JB and Phil's reaction to the rugby you heard at the weekend. An Easter 15 is one thing we asked for. And thank you very much for...
Easter 15 we asked for? Oh, Easter 15 we got,
hell yeah, we got. Thank you for your help. At Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Good work. So an Easter 15, obviously, because it's the religious holiday. And yes, Nick Easter will make an appearance, but who else?
Well, the back row is brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Back row is outstanding.
Nick Easter, Simon, what was his brother called?
Mark Easter.
And Simon Easterby.
Yeah. Does not get better than that.
No.
So that is the benchmark, but where else can we go with this one then? Phil, do you want to take the backs?
I've got Alex Good Friday.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Christian Wade, obviously.
It's all right. not as good as the others. It's decent.
I struggled a bit with the wings. I had Christian Wade and then Noah Cato, which isn't really... It's Bible, but not very not very Easter.
No.
In the centres, Baptiste Bonnet.
Nice.
Oh, why?
French
centre. Not Jean-Baptiste Elassoud?
Fine.
There you are.
Both good.
Some terrible ones. Joe Rocker Coco?
Coco, chocolate. Coco. Yeah. See, that would be a winger.
Yeah, that would have been a good winger, Jay, if you were listening. Oh,
sorry. I'm so busy looking them up. I don't know where they're going with Ryan Lamb. That's nativity, isn't it?
No, Lamb's the traditional Easter meal.
Is it?
Yeah.
Since when?
Since forever.
Not true, not having it.
Lamb's birthing, definitely.
Well, hang on. Does that mean that we could have, like, a fish-based one? Because you fish on Friday?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, there you are. Brilliant.
Okay. So, Ryan Lamb, where are you putting him in our 15?
You having him at 10?
Well, not without Andy Good Friday, but you've also...
Lambie.
Lambie, yeah.
Yeah,
you've
Lambie.
You've also got a Good Friday.
And there's Rhys Priestland as well.
That's the one.
Oh, yeah.
You could have... I'm sure Ryan Lamb used to play 9 for England under-20s in his age group, because it was either Cipriani or Geraghty. There was someone who was in the same age group as him who meant that Ryan Lamb had to play 9.
I think you might
really?
Have put it there.
Yeah,
and it was like a period of age group rugby. I think Johnny Wilkinson played 12 quite a lot.
He did because what was the name of the guy? The guy called, I think it was James Lofthouse.
Who
disappeared off the face of the earth after. So
shall we find James Lofthouse and remind him how bad his life is?
that under 20s team, I think it was about 96 or 97, that had Tyndall, Wilkinson, Flats, Sheridan. Borthwick,
wow.
The Sanderson boys, Simon Danielli was in there.
Flatman was in that schoolboy team with Dulwich College with Sheridan that just ended everybody.
But yeah, of all that team, all the players that made it, and then I think I'm sure it's James Lofthouse. I've got it written down somewhere on my notepad of egg chaser preparation stuff.
Terrible film, absolutely terrible.
Anyway, back to the 15.
So,
did we agree on centres?
Ridiculously. Oh no.
Yeah, yeah.
Baptiste Bonnet. We could have Jonathan Joseph.
Oh, yeah.
Could you? Was Joseph even around then?
He was Jesus' dad. Girl, kind of, technically.
Well, yeah, sort of stepfather.
Yeah. Jeremy Kyle wasn't around at the time to do a DNA test.
There's lots of centres. There's like the Bishop boys and Stuart Abbott.
Yeah.
I don't like any of them. It's got to be Easter related.
Okay.
Okay. So, Adam Ashley. Wednesday Cooper? Ash Wednesday
Adam
Cooper?
Adam Ash Wednesday Cooper.
Christian Cullen?
No.
Matt Hopper?
What, bunnies
Hopper
hopping?
Hopper because of bunnies?
Yeah.
That's a bit tenuous, isn't it?
No, that's great.
Go on, Phil. You pick your back line.
Okay, Alex Good Friday, Christian Wade and Joe Rocker Coco. Coco. Baptiste Bonnet and, let's say, Stuart Abbott in the centre.
Yeah.
This one cracks me up.
Rhys Priestland and Ryan Lamb.
Yeah, I like it.
So front row, Xavier Chockey.
Yes.
Yes.
Right, someone put Jeff Hot Cross Bun. Why not just Jeff Cross?
Jeff Cross.
So over-engineering a problem.
Yeah, Jeff Cross is sufficient.
Yeah. And someone put Cross Ford as well, instead of Ross Ford.
Well, we are struggling for hookers a bit.
I would have gone with Cross Ford. I can take Cross Ford and then Jeff Hot Cross Burn. Yeah, fine. Yeah.
Okay, Cross Ford in there.
Brad, Crown of Thorns.
Yes.
Nice.
I like that.
Tom, Palmer, Palm Sunday.
Nice.
Very good.
Yeah.
Easter Bee. what position did Guy Easterby play? Was he a winger?
I don't actually know.
Yeah.
The only other forward I'd like to mention is Christian Day. because Easter is obviously one of the most Easter Sunday is one of the most Christian days of the calendar.
I don't know. I'm not a Disney fan.
Let's keep an open mind. Good work, guys. Good work. It's a great 15. Thank you for your help. Loads of people on Twitter help us out with those. At Rugby Podcast, you can get in touch with us.
Can I just say, this is the best one of them all. Reffing the game, Roman, how do you say his surname?
Poit.
As he crucified them. Brilliant. Absolutely genius.
Let the boys pray.
Let the boys pray!
So, Guy Easterby, I'll tell you, when he retired, his height and his weight, and you've got to tell me his position.
Okay.
So, you obviously know his brother's with back row Simon Easterby.
Mm. Yeah.
He retired in 2008, it looks like. He was 6 foot and 95 kg. What position did he play?
Fullback? Wing?
Inside centre?
He was a scrum half.
Oh, he was
six
as well.
Foot.
Six foot and 95 kg, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he could solve his scrum half problem in the backs, Phil.
In the back, yes. Perfect.
Sam used to be was a cracking player, by the way. People forget how good he was. Mm.
Now, you're going to hear the reaction to the weekend's rugby, which, as we're talking right now, we haven't seen, but you have seen because it's after that. So let's go back in time, forward into... Oh, my God. Can you explain it? Do you know what's... I can't explain this.
OK, so what happens is I talk about the Bath win, I talk about the Saracens win.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Northampton lost, and so did the Wasps, because they were cheated by the Nathan Hughes appeal.
Here we go, then. Reaction to the weekend's European quarterfinals coming up.
Disappointing.
So you guaranteed a Bath victory.
I did, and I would have got one. In fact, I was 100% correct, other than getting robbed by the yellow card.
Well, there's the yellow card, but they were also pretty underpowered in the scrum.
Kane Palmer Newport. I keep calling him Kane Palmer Newport.
Yes. Kane.
Kane Palmer Newport. Yeah, I've seen him play before. I felt he was fairly good in the LV Cup, but apparently the LV Cup isn't the European Cup.
It's slightly different when you're facing off against Kean Healy, who's coming back into form, and a pack that contains quite a few Irish internationals.
But the standard of play at this level is so high. Bath got that yellow card, they lost by 3 points and they conceded six when Anthony Watson was off the field.
Yes.
I think that has a significant part to do with it.
It does. They would have ended up losing anyway. I know George Ford was magnificent, but the scrum just meant that they were getting penalties given against them. They weren't able to get the field position that they needed for long enough periods of time.
George Ford was indeed magnificent. In fact, he was so good, I'd rate him slightly above Danny Cipriani, like 1A and 1B.
1A and 1B. They're both the same, really.
Yeah. There's not much between them.
Now, on the scrum, this kind of is reminiscent of last year for Bath, where they had fantastic 80% of the season, and then they got two front row injuries in the same position. So Bath have got probably two international calibre players in every position. They've got Paul James and Nick Orterak. Yep. They've got Batty and Webber. Then they've got Henry Thomas and Davy Wilson.
Of course, Davy Wilson.
So last season, both their hookers were injured for the closing part of the season and they dropped out of the back line.
Who did they go with? Orlandi in the end?
I think Orlandi was
their hooker.
It wasn't Orlandi, it was someone else. But they were down to like third choice bare bones.
And
it cost them the top four place. And this, I almost feel like it's history repeating itself with Henry Thomas and Dave Wilson injured. They're going to be struggling in that department.
I have a horrible feeling that you might be right. Horrible feeling. The boy in that, what's his name?
Max Lahif.
Lahif, that's it. He looks like a big old boy. He's a big slab of meat.
He's like Orterak physique. Paul James and Davy Wilson, they are just big slabs.
Yeah.
Good and bad weight.
They were born to scare children.
Whereas Max Lahif looks in good shape, like Orterak.
Mm.
So, interesting to see how they get on with Kane Palmer Newport and Lahif to the end of the season.
Yeah, I think, is Lahif Australian or something? Did he play...
He's English, but I think he started at London Irish and then played out for Melbourne Rebels for the last couple of years.
That's the one, yeah. From the Leinster point of view, it was a great win. I think it was undeserved. That is basically entire Ireland team give Paul O'Connell and the Cumbers.
Conor Murray, Robbie Henshaw, a few of the Ulster boys.
I mean, a couple of injuries and the Irish team could look very similar to that Leinster team.
You've got in pretty much every position someone who's been capped by Ireland, near enough.
I kind of wonder what will happen to Madigan, because they tried him as a 10, I don't think he quite fits as a 10. He's a little small for a centre. He's a good goal kicker, and Sexton's going to come back. I wonder if he's going to be the next JJ Hanrahan and disappear somewhere.
Well, they've already got rid of Gopper, so they really wouldn't want to let Madigan go unless they've got another young, prodigious talent coming through. So it will be interesting to see whether they play him more at 12, which is where he has been playing for the big games. They can play him at 15, which they have done a little bit, but obviously you've got Carney there, or both the Carney boys can play there. And
maybe he is the contender for Chris Wiles' shirts of most valuable backup.
If it had gone on for another 10 more minutes, that Bath could have...
At that last penalty as well, I was certain it was going Bath's way. Absolutely certain.
I thought he might have done as well, but on replay, I think it's right. Garvey does come in from the side.
Banahan played excellent.
Yes.
But Banahan was excellent, and I thought Aguja was excellent.
Yes.
I also thought that Sam Burgess, when he came on, did absolutely nothing. And it's time to free Sam and let him go back to the league. It's getting silly now.
No, I think very solid when he came on. Defence excellent, carries incredibly hard. He just needs more time to play whatever his final position is going to be and stick him there.
Now, did you get time to see this game live?
I did.
Right, it's the next game that you didn't see live.
Yeah, Northampton Claremont.
Yeah. Where do we start with Northampton Claremont?
I saw the second half live, but the damage was already done by that point.
The most disappointing result of the entire weekend. It was just crushing.
For a fan of English rugby, to watch current top of the Aviva Premiership by 10 points and the current English champions go to France, you'd expect they've got a chance.
Yeah.
And they got summarily outplayed in every single department. Outplayed, outmuscled, outthought, just generally beat up. And it's a pack that's got some huge talent. To have like Marafu, Dylan Hartley, Kobe Sierra, Laws and Manoa, is on paper, is there a better second row in European rugby?
Here's where I kind of stood on that. Northampton had pretty much a full side out, except for a winger, which makes no difference here.
And that wasn't where the game was lost, not by a long way.
And if you went through the teams, they've got two internationals, two Lions starting in the front row, with another prop who's good enough that Toulon wanted to sign him. In the second row, Toulon's already signed one of them, and Laws is the current incumbent in the England shirt.
Yeah.
And then you've got the small master of Callum Clark and Tom Wood, who've been exceptional. So I think this one was on Northampton. I don't think it's a case of salary caps, a case of inferior players. It's just they got beaten up.
They did get beaten up, and Claremont were much more up for it. And something interesting that was mentioned by one of the writers in The Guardian today, the crowd for the Claremont game was unbelievable.
Mm.
Why is the, when you watch France playing, why is it not like that? Because it was this like hostile, kind of ferocious atmosphere that built their players up. It was like having an extra man on the field.
And also, if you're a French fan, are you not watching this and go, ah, I see, that's how centres play? Because your boy, we've not seen him all Six Nations.
Fofana had a dreadful Six Nations. He didn't play in the last two games.
And then he lights it up for Claremont, and that's how France should be deploying him internationally.
Yeah. It's just a remarkable performance. So every single time they carried, they were bending the game.
Benders!
Bending the game line, and then they offload, and then they break the game line. And yeah, Benders was brilliant.
Where does he stand now in England rankings?
Well, nowhere near, because he's playing in France.
Rules. it's really quite ridiculous, isn't it? You got this English qualified. Well, he's English. Full stop.
Yeah,
he is English.
He is English.
And yeah, no one's interested
because of the rules.
No,
but I still, even if he was playing in England, I would still have him behind Mike Brown.
Mike Brown is not that good.
I think he
Mike
is.
Mike Brown, I think now he's starting to become the most overrated player in the entire England squad. He's very good, but he's not as good as Halfpenny, he's not as good as Carney.
I would, if I was picking my Lions team, genuinely, I'd have him ahead of both of those.
Depends what you want. No, you wouldn't.
I would.
No, you would not. If I said you had to play a game right now and we had to mortgage a house, you would not play Mike Brown. If you did, you'd be mental.
I absolutely would. 100%.
Okay, so Mike Brown isn't as good as Carney going forward.
I'd say he's better.
No.
I'd say he's better. The last Six Nations, he was most metres made. He was top try scorer, most metres made, most clean line breaks.
He's absolute savage. Carney is far better. And also, Lee Halfpenny, best in the world at what he does.
Now, kicking.
Kicking, but he is also telepathic. If I was to look for an individual with clairvoyant abilities, I would start with Lee Halfpenny, because he knows where to stand every time a ball is kicked.
But he also tackles with his head.
He also tackles with his head. And I'd argue he's the best at that too.
Tackling with his head, yeah. Yes, but it does have he's got three consequences.
Three world-leading qualities. For me, Halfpenny clearly better than Mike Brown. And actually, I think Bender's probably better than all three at running the ball.
Maybe better going forward, but then he
just,
does have...
Just a simple ball runner.
He does have other frailties, but yeah, he's exceptional running the ball.
Benders! Now, if we were fishing... Catching fish after fish after fish would be boring, and that'd be like watching Claremont try after try after try. Saracens was like big game fishing, and only getting one enormous tuna right at the end.
Right, it was at the very
most
end.
Satisfying game I have watched in a good few months.
It was brutal up front, the two packs going at it. But Racing Metro didn't make the most of their chances. They had territory in possession, they had good platforms, and Saracen's defence was... It's half Saracen's defence was too good, half Racing didn't execute well enough.
Oh, half just bad luck. They knocked on pretty much over the line, so they knocked the ball over the line in a clear try-scoring opportunity. I think they were held up. They then bought off Jamie Roberts with 11 minutes to go, not for injury... But to bring on Mike Phillips at outside centre. Very peculiar. And they had the majority of territory, and they looked like the better team. They looked like a really, really good team. But Saracens came with a game plan, and it was executed marvellously.
And only one try of the game, the flop of the line from Maxime Machinaud. Mm. But Saracens just did enough, and that kick, that is one of the most exciting ways to finish a game, isn't it?
Oh, my word.
You know time's up. You've got 48-metre kick from 20 metres to the side of the post, and Marcelo Bosch, he's not like a normal place kicker, because all the normal place kickers have this like regimented routine where they'll take their three steps back, their two across, they'll look up, they'll play with their feet, they'll swing their arms, they'll have this exact precise thing, whereas Marcelo Bosch is just a really good natural striker of the ball, and he just runs up
two steps back, two steps sideways, kicked it.
Yeah, runs up, boots it, and it flies over. It was awesome.
Yeah, the weird thing about a Marcelo Bosch kick is about 5 minutes prior to that, he had two knock-ons. And one of the things that the... oh, by the way, Sky commentators, wonderful. They said, oh, that looks like a pre-planned strike move. Do you know what the move was?
No.
10 to 12, 12 to 13. Genius.
Two passes.
Yeah, it's two passes with Marcelo Bosch coming on a short line off the 12. And Sky have gone mental as well with their graphics.
The gain line.
The gain line?
Gain line tracker that they're using. I saw it used with Northampton.
Oh, right, yes.
It was showing how far behind the gain line each tackle was made. So Claremont were like pushing off the line really fast in defence, and tackling Northampton 5 yards behind the gain line, then 8 yards, then 12 yards.
Well, the graphics which I loved the most, well, there was one, the use of the eyes graphics. So when a player uses his eyes, Sky use a cone to designate where the player may be looking. So there was some great looking by some of the Toulon players.
Is that like, I didn't see that because I didn't watch all the games, is that like when he used to play Metal Gear Solid?
Yes.
And you'd have the guards, and they'd have this like cone of vision.
That's exactly what it was like.
As long as you stay out of the cone of vision, you're okay.
So they had a clip of Stefan Armitage, and he's clearly looking at the ball. Where do you think he would look? As a matter of interest, like, he's looking at birds flying past, he's looking at instructions of his coach.
His girlfriend in the crowd.
Exactly. The other graphic which they employed to create effect was the bending over graphic. And that is literally a arrow in a U-shape which they superimpose over jackaling players to demonstrate the jackal. Like, yeah, I get it.
I know.
I get it. And maybe the coup de grace was the... is either highlighting Armitage or Basterill with not just a circle, but a circle and then two enormous arrows. As if I need any help identifying the overweight centre or the rotund flanker.
Well, do you know which one it was?
Well, I guess that's a good point. It didn't actually tell me if it was Bastro or Armitage. But it was obvious because he's standing between Ali Williams and he's standing behind Backy's Botha or someone. It was clearly him. Hats off to Sky. And I must say that the BT game was actually the Saracens game.
Yes.
Sky then had the Wasps
Toulon game.
Wasps Toulon game, which I thought was another magnificent game and a great performance by Wasps. Did you manage to see all this?
I've seen all the highlights of it. Again, I was stuck up a mountain.
Oh, my word. With who? Jamie Cudmore?
Sadly, I wish.
Catching salmon. Where's our little music thing?
Soundboard.
Thank God. Brave performance. However much money they pay Ashley Johnson, it's not enough. Because that guy is mega.
He's awesome, isn't he?
He's a different league. He was just a leader from start to finish. Whereas most teams bring on fresh hookers, Wasps are able to move their back row, who's made, like, you know, 15 tackles and 5 turnovers, and then rest him at hooker.
Yeah, and 60 yards as well.
Oh, he is some player. Unfortunately, again, due to the curse in our game of cards, they were deprived of Nathan Hughes. His replacement is a gentleman called Guy Thompson.
Have you
come across Guy Thompson?
Young English lad. I think of him more as a flanker rather than... I've seen him play open side.
I've seen him come on at open side in the Premiership. He's 6'1", 105 kg. That is a little shorter than me and a little lighter than me.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that I do a better job playing against Toulon, but there again, I have no business playing against Toulon at 8. And I'd probably suggest that Guy Thompson's got a little bit of development before he...
Well, I've just looked him up. He's actually 28 years old.
No! So I thought he was like 19 or something.
Yeah, so did I.
On the plus side, he's got great hair. Wonderful hair. But,
so he's, compared to Nathan Hughes, who's like 22, 23, who's 6'5 and 120 kg, something like
and
that.
And the hardest man in the world to tackle.
Yeah, and remarkably quick for someone of that height and size.
Yeah. I was watching this game. As we're watching it, I was thinking, what does this guy actually... What does he actually do? I mean, yeah, he's willing, but I'd be willing.
If you're going to get paid that much money to play on the biggest stage.
He came off the back of the scrum, made the correct decision, smashed right into Michalak, who drove him backwards. Now, if you're struggling to make gain line yards against Freddie Michalak, who hasn't started a game for about 8 years and is about, what, 80 kg wet through or something ridiculous.
Yeah, comparing Guy Thompson to you, Freddie Michalak is probably similar height and weight to me.
And I would smash you.
We have done it once before in a sevens tournament.
Sevens tournament, I don't remember that. I'm not a sevens player, as you well know, I was fatigued. But it just shows, again, a silly card, a ludicrous panel decision for Nathan Hughes, and Wasps get beaten by the narrowest of margins, because I think this was actually a really competitive game, and Wasps did extremely well.
Yeah, they came back into it, didn't they? Obviously, Toulon started much stronger. Just interesting thing about selection from Wasps. Lazowski starting instead of Goud.
Yeah.
But Goud was on the bench, so he's not injured.
Could be carrying a knock, I guess, or getting...
Could be, yeah.
Inverted commas fit again? I don't know, because he's been out...
He's missed a couple of games, but I don't know if was fit or rested, or they just wanted to have a look at Lazowski.
Well, they definitely didn't rest anyone this game, so we can forget that. But maybe there is an element of moving on for the future and giving Lazowski as much time as possible. Again, that just wouldn't make sense. He must be ready for it, or they wouldn't be throwing him in.
Yeah, but he only started his first Premiership game a couple of weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, was it?
Something like that. So.
Was it not Northampton, his first Premiership game?
The game that... Nathan Hughes last weekend, yeah.
Yeah, last weekend. So his two games have been the travesty in Northampton, Franklin's Gordon Gate, and Toulon. That's a hell of a welcome.
And he's 0-2.
Yeah, well...
tough start.
It's a tough start, but he's promising.
Right, so the semi-finals, which are 2 weeks' time now...
Is that what it is?
It is, yeah. They've changed the scheduling, so it's like a one-week break in between the semi-finals and then the final. The final's now on the 2nd of May, I think it is.
Oh, right, I had no idea.
So it's coming up fast. But the finals are... weird because it's a repeat of a group stage game in that it's Claremont versus Saracens and then Toulon versus Leinster, so Leinster travel.
So within 12 months, Claremont and Saracens have seen each other four times?
Four times, yeah.
Wow.
And then if you had another year, you had another game against them, because maybe even another two games, because they played the previous, the 2013 Heineken Cup.
Did
as well.
They?
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
So, well, the last four games have been 2-2. Is that
3-1?
Well, so, no, Saracens definitely beat
Claremont
at home.
Sorry, it's 2-1. This will be the fourth game in a year.
Yes, sorry.
Yeah, so it's 2-1.
I've got a funny feeling the Saracens might repeat the trick.
It's a tough place. We've said about the atmosphere in Clermont. It's different playing over there than it is playing them.
To be fair, they scraped through against... Do you think they scraped through against Racing and beat Clermont last year? And what's this year? Because of all the English teams, they're the most French.
Saracens are, yeah. With a big pack.
Attritional. Mind you, they're not French, are they? Because the French are disorganised and they're big. That is what they do. We just beat people up. Saracens are phenomenally well organised.
And they're pretty big.
Yeah, they are marvellous at what they do. They plan everything in meticulous, great organisation.
Well, we'll talk about that in more depth next week. And then the other one is Toulon Leinster, which will be another great game.
Well, Leinster went over to Toulon and got absolutely spanked. And I imagine this will go exactly the same way.
Yes. So that's stuff to look forward to. And just one more piece of news before we time travel back to Thursday when we're recording this.
Yes, please, Phil.
Have you seen the Stuart Lancaster motivational speaking fiasco?
I've heard something about this in the press, and I felt it was a little bit cruel.
Stuart Lancaster should not be blamed at all for this.
Mm-hmm.
But he's basically offering his services, or MC Saatchi, I think it is, are offering his services as a motivational leadership speaker.
Mm-hmm.
And they've listed his achievements, and you can't see this, I'm doing air quotations, inverted commas for this, his achievements as being runner-up in the Cook Cup, the Hillary Shield and the Millennium Trophy, which is competed between England and Australia, England, New Zealand, England and Ireland, respectively.
Oh, he must be furious.
So to say you're runner-up in a two-horse race is...
Sorry, and what do these guys do for a living?
Marketing. Motivational speaking.
And no one thought to check this out.
It's unbelievable.
This will be written by some guy in very, very tight trousers and a cravat. And one of these autistic types who has no idea about contact sport.
Yeah, it's... It's like saying you came runner-up in an arm wrestle.
It's the marketing equivalent of playing Guy Thompson at 8. Bravo, bravo indeed.
Anyway, let's get back into the DeLorean.
Mm-hmm. Let's go. Over to you, Tim.
Well, there you go. A good analysis, boys.
And, thank you
and much. How accurate were all your predictions, JB, as well? Incredible.
Spot on.
That was JB and Phil's take on the weekend's events. If you've got anything to add to that, at Rugby Podcast, you can find us on Twitter. And the next thing on our agenda is Phil has a quiz.
Yes.
There's a lot of reaction on Twitter, JB, to the fact you actually managed to win a quiz.
Please refer to me as quiz champion.
Only as good as your last quiz, I guess.
Indeed. Exactly right.
And you were very... Well, you were passable.
Very good. Well, very good.
You won.
Well, I won, didn't I? So
you did.
We're good about that.
You did enough.
What have you...
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
For us.
Okay, one single question, 10 points available. It's now 10 years, almost to the day, since the 2005 Lions tour to New Zealand. There are 10 players who are still playing this Ooh. Season who toured in 2005. Can you name them?
I believe I can.
Very confident this week, Jay?
10.
That's 10. Astonishingly.
Oh no, Beardmore's nailing it.
Yeah, I was quite surprised that there were a full 10.
God, it wasn't. This is the Clive Woodward one, was it not?
Yeah.
It was.
It was a big squad.
It was 44 man initial squad, and then there was a further 7 players who joined up with them.
Ah!
Yeah, it was a huge squad, actually. And he said, didn't he, his biggest mistake was not to make it bigger.
Wow.
He said if he could do it again, he'd make it bigger.
More outside centres.
The only one I can remember from that tour is one of JB's all-time favourite players.
Yeah.
Danny Grucock.
Was he on that tour?
He was on that tour, yeah.
Mind you, just name the player. They're probably on that tour.
But yeah, name a player who was big 10 years ago.
Exactly.
Ooh. Well, the process I'm going down is who are, like, massive stalwart players now? That's my logic.
That's a good angle to take.
Oh! Sorry. It sounded like we were both mutually climaxing at that point.
Enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
20 seconds left and I'll have to see your answers. Let's go. Okay, Jay, how many have you got?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
And Tim?
I also have 8 written down.
Ooh, interesting.
So shall I give one?
One that you're very confident with.
One that I'm very confident with, Paul O'Connell.
Correct.
Jay? Yep.
I know you have.
You got Paul O'Connell? Okay, cool.
Jay?
Gavin Henson.
Correct.
I've got Big Gav, look. Look, there's Big Gav. Yeah. I went with Paul O'Connell's second row partner at the time, Donico Callahan.
Jay?
As did I.
Oh.
Correct.
3 for 3.
Yeah.
Go on, JB.
Mark Cueto.
I did not put Mark Cueto in.
I can tell you that Mark Cueto was an addition to the
tour. Yes!
For the injured Ian Bolshaw. So it is correct.
Oh.
Woo. 4. Was that 4 or 3?
4.
4.
And 4 for JB. 3 for Tim.
His clubmate at the time, Charlie Hodgson.
Jay?
Charlie Hodgson. I did not get, no.
Well, you don't know if he's in?
He is in.
Oh, yes!
Is correct.
4 all.
Woo! This is where it starts to get a little bit not so great. Gethin Jenkins. How did I forget that name?
Tim?
I can't believe I missed that one. He is in, isn't he?
He is in.
No one's given a wrong answer yet. 5-4 for JB.
I didn't get
Hodgson. No, you didn't get Hodgson, but you haven't given a wrong answer.
No. Tim?
Dwayne Peel.
Ah, no!
A Welshman that JB doesn't have, but was on the tour, Dwayne Peel.
5 all. So we've both got three answers left.
Jay?
Adam Jones. I don't know if I'm going to...
I have not got Adam Jones.
Not confident on that at all.
Adam Jones is not correct.
Oh! All right, Gordon Darcy. He's still playing this season,
Ooh,
isn't
that's
he?
That's a good one. I'm not sure he was.
Was Gordon Darcy on the tour?
He's been in Ireland international for a long time.
Yes, he was.
Oh, no.
He was on the tour. 6-5 to 2.
I don't think I've got any good ones left. Ian Gough.
I don't have Ian Gough.
I can tell you that Ian Gough, who's just been cleared of assault on his former girlfriend.
Worth mentioning that. He's been cleared and his record is clean after all the allegations and tabloid stories.
Yeah, if we do another criminal 15, he won't make it.
He will not make it.
No, he was not on the tour.
So JB's given 7 answers and got 5 right.
Yeah.
I've given 6 answers and got 6 right.
Yeah.
So I've got 2, so this one would actually win it.
Yes,
it would.
Matt Stevens.
I wasn't going to win, but...
Jay, is Matt Stevens your remaining
one?
He
was an England international in about 2002-03, I think.
No, I don't have Matt Stevens.
Matt Stevens.
And he plays both sides, so it just sort of thought it might have been a squad selection.
I can tell you he first played for England in 2004, and he was in the 2005.
No! I did put him down as well.
7 for 7. My 8th one, and the final one, which I don't think is right, is Chris Custer.
Oh, that's a good shout.
I thought it was a good shout, but...
Chris Custer is also correct.
Matthew Tate?
Matthew Tate, no.
No.
He was 18 in 2000...
8-5! 8-5, Jay.
And the one player that you missed, Ryan Jones.
I got six.
Ryan Jones? Eight.
Yeah, Ryan Jones is the one player that you missed.
I got 6, for the record.
Okay, 8-6. you're a loss. You're a loser. And you can refer to me as quiz champion now.
Yes, and me as quiz master.
From the quiz champion, I would like to hand over to a world champion, Ian Bolshaw. David Flatman wasn't in the World Cup squad, was he?
He wasn't.
No, he was not. He's still a proper ledge. And Tour de Flats, you can see on BT Sport on Monday nights, a little serialised version of David Flatman's tour in a Land Rover, in the BT Sport convoy, going up and down the land, meeting rugby legends like Ian Balshaw, who he caught up with, and they picked up in a car park, JB and Phil. Here is part two of that interview.
And talk about rugby laws.
Scrimmaging. Oh, don't. My forte.
Here we go. We've thought of some laws which we're basically going to rip up and scrap.
Right.
So we're going to give you an example of three. You're going to tell us if they're a good idea or not. And then we want your ideas of laws to be scrapped. So the first one, dead obvious. Throwing into the line-out. If it is caught by the attacking team and the defending team don't try and interfere, i.e. they don't go up, you cannot not throw it straight.
Right.
Shall we discuss that? Where do you stand?
Well, I think all you have to do is... I see the reasoning for it, and I've thought about this before, and I sort of think, well, if they're not up, then they don't deserve to be given the scrum or the option of a scrum or line out because the ball wasn't straight, because they weren't competing anyway. So it's almost like being offered a scrum if the opposition kicker misses a penalty kick. Well, it's kind of your fault he had it, and you haven't done anything to earn that ball back, but you're getting given it anyway. But it's just one of those rules that's really easy to exploit. So all you need to do is have one tall bloke jump like that at the front of each line out. So that represents no competition whatsoever. But legally, that would represent a jumper going for the ball. All right, he's nowhere near it because he's only 6 inches off the ground and everyone else is busy staying on the ground. But it's a law that you can suddenly... There's a million connotations to it and everyone's angry and frustrated by it because actually, well, okay, I was nowhere near it, but Tom Croft at the front did jump up with his arm in the air. Does that technically represent going for the ball? Yes. Yeah. So then you're knackered.
Mm-hmm. I see you've actually thought of this.
Yeah, so it doesn't work.
Why don't we just scrap lineouts altogether and just make the game a lot quicker, like rugby league?
Well, that's what I'm trying to do, because if you have a lineout, it takes a minute to set it up, and then if it's not straight, even though the other team doesn't compete,
then
you've
got
another minute to set up a scrum, so you've got 2 minutes lost because no one was competing.
Where else have you got to be? How busy are you?
I think so.
Are you that desperate to save, 120 seconds in your life on a day out with your mates? Don't worry about it.
The game's only 80 minutes long, though.
Yeah,
as much rugby in as you can.
Yeah.
All right, well, how about we speed up even more and we get rid of knock-ons? This is a genius idea.
Knock-ons.
Yeah, wait for it.
Well, then the game would be a shambles.
No, it absolutely wouldn't. So... Be four gridiron, passes, wouldn't it? Not allowed.
Yeah.
You can't score from a knock-on, and any deliberate knock-on still results in a yellow card. What we'd have is a fumble situation. Less scrums, which obviously isn't a good thing for everyone, but...
He'd be happy.
No, I know. It's a more fluid game.
I don't think less scrums is a benefit. I think each scrum not taking as long, there's a difference.
Yeah.
So scrums are very, very important. We can discuss that in a minute, but they're
do we have to?
They are as important for guys like Bolsh as they are for props, because they make people tired and create space. They group everyone. They group half the players on the pitch in one place for a few seconds. Yeah. So there is room for a while.
But these days, you seem to hardly ever see scrums being used as an attacking weapon. They seem to be used as a penalty weapon.
Yeah, but that's an attacking weapon. It's points,
When you're saying the group half the players to create lots of space outside, you hardly ever, like, it's part of my frustration with the game at the moment, you hardly ever see
first phase tries.
Yeah, that's from scrums.
Yeah, but that's because defences have moved on so much, because heroes like Kevin Sinfield have come into the game, people that have coached him and have made it so hard to score from first phase.
But
it's not about the scrum, that's about defence, because the scrum is always, 16 blokes have always stood there. An attack from first phase. The fact that people aren't scoring from first phase now is because defences are better.
I think it's more to do with balls coming out less frequently and they're keeping it in and either trying to win a penalty or it comes out really scrappily.
That's not to do with the scrimmage in itself, though, is it? That's to do with the interpretation of the laws by the individual referee.
Yeah.
So there's no consistency
in
the referee,
which the lack of consistency leads to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is part of the problem.
I do think it's very important that we have scrums, but there needs to be something done.
In terms of knock-ons,
they've got to go.
You are.
They've just got to go. They're gone. So.
Yeah, but then you have. Okay, so we're going to run a move whereby
accidentally knock the ball on, but on purpose.
Yellow card, and yet we score. Yeah, but then you got, so Wayne Barnes is refereeing. We run a move where I know that I'm going to get past the ball and I'm going to, believe it or not, accidentally knock it on. And would you believe it, my guy's running around the back and taking it, but we're not going to score, so you're allowed it. So you're allowed to carry on by your criteria. Well, we're allowed to carry on because we're not going
to
score from it.
You are allowed.
We're
to
just
going to
make 60 yards.
Well, here would be the example of how it actually works in practice, because there is a sport where you can knock on, American football, but you never want to knock on because there's not really an advantage to throwing the ball on the floor ever. In fact, the longer it's on the floor, the more likely the opposition are to win
to
the
get
ball
it
back.
Yeah.
And so, also, if it was that easy, you'd have little grubber kicks going all the time to exploit it in exactly the same manner, and that doesn't—it's just too difficult to do either way.
But then you've got double. If you've got a grubber kick and a potential accidental knock-on, you've got double the options, which makes it twice as likely to be effective, doesn't it? So you're doubling your options from a knock-on to a grubber.
But then a knock-on, a deliberate knock-on, is a yellow card.
You're asking the ref to. It's got another really, really open grey
area
to think about, and I think the refs have too many of those. And I think the scrum is a great example of referees having way too much to do. It's not fair. So then people say, "Well, let's get ex front row in, an ex prop in to every game." Okay, well that works for the six Premiership games every weekend.
Yeah.
Then what about all the divisions below? And then what about that? And you're suddenly changing the whole game. And I tell you what, I played prop for ages, and there are plenty of scrums I watch, and I haven't got a clue what's happened. And I only know, and I hold my hands up when I'm on the telly talking about it. I often say, I would need to have another look at that. If I had to make an instant decision now, I would probably reset, because I don't know. These guys are under so much pressure to make decisions that, I'm not saying they guess, but they've got so much to look for. I think it is verging on impossible to referee a scrum at elite level now.
Well, how would you change it? Is there anything that can be done?
I would basically reduce... If you imagine, I mean, we got told a couple of years ago when I was playing, this is a photograph of a scrum. Yeah. This was, I think Dean Richards, the referee, came down. He was brilliant. He did some live scrum sessions with us, and they're just a brawl, you know, generally. But in between punch-ups, he told us some really useful stuff. And he said, this is a photograph we're given, and he showed it to us. This is what a scrum should look like. And whoever it is that is causing the scrum to not look like this, effectively, is the guy we visually investigate and generally penalise. Now, I straight away looked at that and said, well, I can't do what he's doing. I can't do that. Well, you know what, your bind needs to be there. And I said, well, my shoulders don't go there. I've had 5 shoulder recons. They don't go there. So I can scrummage legally. I can scrummage so that the tight head prop against me has no complaints about what I'm doing, but you will still penalise me and cost my team points and games. Yeah, well, you need to get your arm there. Okay, lean against me now. I'll lean against this guy. You try and pull my arm to there. So he did that, and I said, I'm not stopping it. That stopped itself. So what do I do? Because you've now been given a new photo, which has ended my career.
Oh,
so I can't play anymore. What do I do? And I said, it's actually a load of rubbish, and your tight head has to do this, and he can't have his feet this. And I said, it doesn't work. Everyone is different. And so then I think what you do is, if you've got this photograph and you've got 10 red circles on it, which is areas the referee has to look for at every scrum, reduce that. So it's as simple as reduce that. So things like binding. People go nuts about binding.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Lou said, can bind where he wants and it makes no difference. Imagine the pressure coming through from Castro Giovanni or Carl Heyman. Right, all that pressure coming through on the tight, there's tons and tons of pressure. My hand's going to be there, there or there, holding onto his shirt somewhere.
And it won't make a difference.
Mm. What's the difference?
Yeah.
Or it's going to be, or if he gets me and buckles me a bit, my elbow goes onto my knee, so I can't get my bind up. Penalty. Why? Because your shoulders are below your hips. Props have scrummaged with their shoulders below their hips for years. For years. Jason Leonard spent half his career with his shoulders below his hips. Jeff Probyn did, the greats. It's not a myth. You know, scrummaging in really uncomfortable positions was part of the job. Now, you never have to scrummage in an uncomfortable position because everything has to be perfect. So I think, stop that. I think the only two issues you have with the binding, if a prop is reaching in on a tight head's collar and pulling it across and choking him,
okay,
which is pretty difficult with the amount of pressure there is now, it's less of a wrestle, more of a sort of smack, you know, there's less time to do that stuff. That's an issue, but the ref can look for that if a complaint comes in.
Yeah.
If a tight head prop is on my arm pulling me down, pulling my arm in, that's an issue because the scrum is going to roll in and collapse. They're the only things you need to ref. The rest of the whole binding regulation is bollocks. It's complete bollocks, completely unnecessary.
It's like a science lesson.
It's not. It's common sense.
I was lost about 5 minutes ago.
It's common
sense.
The art
of scrimmaging.
Think of the pressure coming in. Like if you've got eight blokes, this Land Rover's driving towards you, and they put their foot down a little bit, and you're trying to resist it and stop it pushing. Think of all the force coming through, and think about being penalised for putting my hand on the wrong part of the bumper. This hand makes fuck all difference when there's that much pressure involved. It's completely irrelevant.
Mm.
But they go mad about it.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and they talk about boring in and this and that. Well, you know, it's kind of, I think, to a point, when did we stop tight head props boring in on hookers? And how do you know when a loose head is boring in, how do you know whether if a tight head against me, if I'm a loose head, if he bores in, what am I going to do?
Yeah, and you're also going
to
kind of
follow him. Got to follow him. Equally, as a loose head, I would often follow tight heads in, so it was their fault. I'm doing finishing what they started. But I would also drive them in myself, so I was guilty 50... I think, leave it.
Yeah.
I actually think, as long as the ball is going in and coming out, leave them to it and let them scrap it out.
Let the boys play, is that what you mean?
Yeah, player regulation. Yeah. Same as the breakdown, bring back rucking. Let the players regulate as much of the game as possible.
So are we all in agreement then, we eliminate the knock-on? I think
no.
I think that was a concise concise question. Right, boys, we've got.
How boring was that? Sorry, mate. I love you, mate. Right, highball. Can we do highball contest?
No,
now?
Let's not even do that.
let's talk about who is cooler. So we've got a list of rugby celebrities now, and we just want who is cooler. So we're gonna kick off with a quintessential English owner versus a quintessential French owner.
The French owners are cooler.
Are they?
Cooler than, they are.
Cooler than Bruce Craig.
He's French.
What?
He's not French, but he's
been. What?
Oh, yeah, but he's been in France for the last 25 years. He's got a French wife.
He's got a house in Provence.
He's got a house in Aix-en-Provence.
Wow.
Stop ruining it.
Enough now.
All his mates are French club owners. He wears linen shirts with no tie. He's French.
So he's not as cool as Bougelet then? Because Bougelet is actually French.
I think Bruce is cooler because he looks like Richard Gere, and Bougelet says ridiculous stuff all the time.
Bruce is super cool. It's not even a contest, actually.
No. If you were worth a squillion quid, I reckon you'd be cool.
I'd be pretty cool.
I said to him once, we had a big game, and I got in the lift, and we were playing Leinster, and we duly got spanked, actually. But he said, you're right, you look worried. I said, I'm not worried, mate, I'm okay. I said, are you worried? He said, I'm never worried. What have I got to worry about? That's a very good point. I say, well, your hair's not great. That's one thing.
He doesn't care. He doesn't even need hair.
No.
Haskell versus Parisi.
Parisi,
hands down.
Correct answer.
Correct answer. Yeah, come on now.
Okay, who is the coolest fly half's dad? Mr. Farrell or Mr. Ford?
I just don't think you can be that cool. If you got someone who's 6 foot
Mr. Farrell, he's one Man of Steel.
Man of Steel, exactly.
Man of Steel.
Done.
There we go.
Done. And I played in the only ever completely untelevised England-Saxons game. It was so low-key and meaningless against Italy A. We played at Treviso's training ground.
Oh, right? Wow.
There was no one there. It was free entry. There was no one there.
When was this?
This was like 2006? 11? Something like that?
Oh, wow.
Seriously. Like they had proper boys. We had proper boys playing, you know. Loads of internationals playing. They did too. There was no one there. It's complete. This game didn't exist. It was rubbish. And afterwards, there was a big party. And there's like, you can go up and there's like an open mic and all these, like, the Italian lads are getting up there and singing, and then everyone's like, Faz, Faz, Faz. And Andy Farrell just went up there with his rucksack on. He says, anyone got a guitar? Played around the guitar for a sec, tuned it up, and banged out, I think it was a couple of Oasis songs. He was absolutely legendary, and he was stone cold sober. He was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Well, I was going to go with Ford, but you've convinced me it's Farrell.
Man of Steel. You're
Man of Steel, mate.
Ford's a...
Yeah, but Ford wears cords and he's got very nice kind of jacket.
And he says Ickle as well.
Yeah, well, he's from Oldham. which is a big positive. Gingham shirts.
That's where it's at. No, that's where it's at.
Positive.
Yeah.
Positive.
Yeah, but he's made it out. That's a positive. Him and Kyle. Our Kyle.
Okay, what about referees then? Nigel Owens or Steve Walsh?
Nigel Owens.
I don't know why we adjust that.
Well, Steve Walsh thinks he's cooler, though. In Steve Walsh's mind.
I love it the way he looks up at the big screen when he's refereeing, just to make sure his hair looks good.
Oh, yeah, still refereeing.
Checking himself out.
He's finished now, hasn't he?
Yeah, well, I mean, I always think about Steve Walsh, if he was half as cool as he thought, he'd be twice as cool as he actually is.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Why has he retired? What you hear?
It was something to do with he put his name to a supermarket chain or something, I think.
Which one?
I'm not sure, but it's to open
Waitrose.
Up. It was to open up in Australia, and so he got the call.
Hang on. He put his name to a supermarket chain, 12,000 miles away, and he couldn't.
It
was something. Well, that's what I heard.
Yeah. Stacks up nicely.
Do you know what? I'm a big believer in if someone's really good at their job, and they're honest about how good they are at their job and how bad, you know, mistakes and whatever. I'm a big believer that someone should be allowed to be who they are. Like we've all played with massive prima donnas who are motivated by different things, and they're not all like Rocky Balboa and. Some of them take way too much time over their appearance. I always thought as long as they're honest when they make mistakes and they are absolutely doing their best to be good at their jobs, I couldn't give a monkey's what
motivates. What are you talking about? A little bit more about the prima donnas you've met.
No, why don't we not?
But
but someone like Steve Walsh, I always thought, I just didn't care. I loved the whole sideshow with him for a while, like how vain he appeared to be and tanned up and silly hair and all that and tats of his own.
Did he put plaster on his arm to cover his tattoo up?
Yeah.
Is that right?
What
does it say on his tattoo?
I was going to say a bonus point if anyone knows.
I got told recently, I read it recently.
Aren't I great?
It's not far off. I mean, the implication is that.
Because he had a.
Veni Vidi Vici or something.
His tattoo says, "He who controls himself controls the game."
Look at some of the ink the boys have got. I mean,
oh, it's horrific.
There's loads of ink about. I mean, but there's some boys with great ink. Boys with shocking ink. You know, I just think
the worst ink I've ever seen. I think was it Skaysbrook used to play at Bath.
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh my word! What was that?
The
stars.
The star. On the
oh, I like. I actually
He's got
like
a big
those.
Cobweb on his arm.
Yeah, I like those. Yeah.
Oh. Do you have any?
Each to their own, mate.
Well, I mean, if you like them,
each to their own. I think.
I think if you. If you have tattoos, then you are... That's fine, but I think you've got to be reasonably willing / comfortable for people to see you without any clothes on. And I think, my wife aside, I wouldn't subject anyone to that. It's like
I saw you semi-naked yesterday, but you looked all right.
You did, yeah, yeah.
I saw you in the pool. It was great.
Yeah.
It was on Twitter, wasn't it?
Yeah, not bad, Nick. For 2 or 3 years retired, fat guy. I mean, come on.
That was impressive.
Yeah, okay.
Now, Walsh,
yeah.
Do you have any pool still in Gloucester?
None whatsoever.
None.
Did you ever have any pool in Gloucester?
Exactly. Did I ever have any? Why is that?
Do you know anyone with any pool in Gloucester who you can get hold of?
Lord Tyndall.
they need our help.
Right.
They're currently the owners of the worst kit in the Premiership by a country mile. It's horrendous. And the problem is, we know that they know how to make a kit. They need the navy shorts. And they need the full-on hoops.
Yeah.
So we need a contact within Gloucester to make it happen.
Okay.
Why don't you just go straight to Ryan Walkinshaw at the top?
Can we?
Just tweet him. He's a top bloke. If you tweeted him, he would answer you. I'm telling you.
He would answer. I'm sure he's
a top bloke.
But if Bolsh tweeted him, he'd definitely answer.
Yeah, that's true. And if Bolsh's a really good bloke, he would do it.
If Bolsh was a top bloke, which I've heard he is actually.
I'll tweet him now.
Yeah.
What do you want to say?
Well, a return to full-on hoops and
navy shorts.
Can we please
change the kit?
Yeah. Navy shorts.
Because the one I've got at the moment is horrendous. Like, the shorts merge into the top. It's got all strange shapes on it.
It's too synthetic.
I know, we're back. We'll just keep going, don't worry.
And it needs to be that slightly cardboardy old school cotton fabric.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Not you, mate.
Can't promise anything.
some strange guy in Sheffield's just being beat by...
Stick it up your arse, yeah?
Sorry, mate. Good stuff.
Ryan. Is it just at Ryan, isn't it?
Yeah. At Ryan, yeah.
It's going to take a while.
No, you can do it afterwards.
All right.
It's because we're in the sticks.
How about we tweet you? And you can...
You tweet me
and I'll pass it on. Yeah, you endorse.
Okay, perfect.
Our views.
Yeah.
Who do you think has got the best kids in the Premiership?
Oh, easy. Leicester at the moment.
Really?
Leicester's
great. Oh, that racing green. Oh, and they all run around like E-type Jags. It's
wonderful. not really.
Or turbo diesel Land Rovers on.
Yeah.
Oh, either or.
What about in Europe? Stad?
Do you know what? I used to like Stad. And I always felt that I was ahead of the curve because I got the first ever pink shirt from Stad.
Really?
It took over 12 weeks to actually arrive from Paris, but I had the first
Chronopost, mate. Bloody Chronopost in France is a bloody shambles.
They're all on strike. It's ridiculous. but ever since then, it's kind of been a case of everyone's got into the pink thing. Everyone's got a slightly zany kit. So I'm past that. So I'm now all the classics.
Tradition.
Yeah, I think Toulouse are fairly far ahead in the kit stakes.
Ah, yeah.
Leinster as well. Leinster's good.
Leinster.
Mm. What do you reckon then?
I don't know. I quite like the out there.
Wasps old away kit with the old school hoops was good.
Yeah, that was good actually.
Shouldn't have been that.
Bath old school teachers tops.
Yeah, that's like those. They're the best ones. I actually like the yellow ones.
Really? I actually had that one too.
What?
The old yellow one made by Adidas. Got it from
Adidas.
Adidas.
Like
Adidas.
Those are the days.
Do you call it Nike? Do you call it Nike as well? Do you call Porsches Porsche?
Porsche. Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Are you that guy?
I'm that guy.
But it's how they say it, so... It's like when Eddie Butler talks about Benjamin Kaiser, he calls him Benjamin Kaiser. Benjamin Kaiser.
Benjamin, isn't it?
Yeah. When he meets you, he says, "Hello, I'm Ben." I think he's all right with it.
The Leicester accent.
Noah Nakatasi.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a little feature on Eddie Butler last week or the week before about his suspect pronunciations.
Oh, did you?
Scott Spadeen. Scott Spadeen.
He's South African, mate.
That guy is massive.
Yes.
Spadeen. He's like the most athletic doorman that I've ever seen.
He's a big boy.
He's I don't know why he signed for Claremont. He's not going to get a game with Nick Abender in there, is he?
Oh, Benders is great.
Benders. I reckon Bendy will play the home games and Scott Spedding will play the away games.
Jean-Marc Boutin as well there?
Yeah.
Claremont.
Isn't he leaving to go to...
Quite the collection of football.
What are you going to do next, Bolsh? Are you going to stay in France for a little while?
We're staying there for the foreseeable future. My kids are fully integrated into the French system.
Oh, nice.
I'm fully integrated into the French system. Yeah, the weather's good now. The lifestyle's fantastic. I was very fortunate to be able to move my family out there.
You've got to be careful, though. You could raise them as socialists or something. It'd be terrible.
That's the worry, isn't it?
It is a worry, you know.
We just basically... The school with the nicest playground and the best lunch, they can just go there, whatever they're teaching. The one that's nearest to the house. Yeah. Whoever's nearest to the house, whatever.
They'll be fine, then.
Yeah, be right. Be reed.
Are you in touch at all with Harren Ordicke, who's
Imanol? Yes, I know him very well.
He was a bit of a childhood legend. He's still playing, and I'm 30. But growing up, he was the guy who was always in my mind the best number eight.
Would you put him ahead of Delalio when they had that period together?
I would have, because I never really liked Delalio because I was Welsh at the time. All they used to do is spank Wales. I always wanted him to get one up on Delalio, but.
It's amazing what he's done because he's obviously been a world-class number eight, and obviously he's moved from Biarritz to Toulouse. He had 2 or 3 years at Biarritz where his form dipped, and everybody was saying, especially over in France, that was it, that was him done. But basically now, when Toulouse play well, he is at the centre of everything.
He's such a slick operator.
He's an absolute phenomenon.
There's one thing, when you don't know him, you can see him coming across as a bit arrogant, wasn't very helpful when he said he hated the English.
Very amusing, though.
Very amusing. But he's a very proud Basqueman.
I always like the fact, I don't know if it's true, that
He only used to sign one-year contracts so he could go back and farm if it all went wrong.
Just say it's true. It's
true,
really true. Apart from that four-year deal he signed.
he signed monthly contracts, actually. He just went paycheck to paycheck. Incredible. Amazing.
Yeah.
Great. So we've got a lot of good audio, and we've managed to take, what, about half a tank of petrol? Yes.
One last thing. What's the wig for?
These creative types are here.
Brilliant television.
They create these little ideas for us to break up the journeys, because this journey is 9 hours long, so it's quite a long journey. But they try and break it up with things like wigs and beards for us to muck around with.
Nice.
So we have to humour them, you know.
Boys, yeah. That was absolutely great. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
That was JB and Phil chatting to David Flatman on the Tour de Flats, which, as we mentioned, you can see every Monday night on Rugby Tonight on BT Sport. And thank you very much to BT Sport for having us, having JB and Phil in the back of a Land Rover. That sounds well dodgy. David Flatman had me in the back of his Land Rover. You can now legitimately say, boys. Top lads, aren't they?
Yeah.
Him and Bolsh.
Great blokes. Really, really good fun. One of the best things we've done on the pod. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah, cheers. That doesn't make me feel more jealous that I missed it.
I'll tell you one of the other best things we did on the pod was go to Chicago to watch the All Blacks.
Oh, you would have loved that.
Oh, stop it.
It was wonderful.
Oh, my word.
There's loads of stuff online, by the way, from the Tour de Flats. That, like I say, you may have seen it on Rugby Tonight, Monday night. There's more coming up in future weeks, but there's stuff on the BT Sport website as well.
Quick question for everyone.
Yeah.
The World Cup ends, doesn't it, in
about November, October, November.
Are they going to do...
I think it's October the 27th or something like that is the World Cup final, around then.
Will they do Autumn Internationals as well?
No.
Sure, because I'm sure they did it last time. They had massively congested.
No.
No Autumn Internationals, no LV Cup.
No LV Cup? No.
They've reduced the Tri-Nations as well.
Oh, right, fine. Okay, well, that's the end of... My next question.
No summer tours as well.
Right, well, that's it.
It is back to Premiership for a week.
Okay, well, let's go with the first one, the game which I'm going to BT Sports watch next week.
Oh, well, you're down there for that as well.
I am. I'm going down on Sunday. So I'll be recording the podcast next Sunday with either of you two.
I know, we're not there. Bryn Williams, isn't it? RGC's Bryn Williams.
RGC's Bryn Williams.
Barbarian.
And whoever else you can find in the BT Sports Studios.
Yes, so hopefully they'll lend me somebody.
So watch BT Sports Sunday afternoon, and you will see JB representing the Egg Chasers podcast in the little media hub area. And I'm sure you'll be a breath of fresh air, JB.
I'm sure I will.
Yeah.
Are you going to have some Gavin Henson topless pictures on your screen like last time?
Was that a little prank we played on JB?
No, I did it myself.
No, JB did it himself. So, yeah, you sit in front of a little monitor, and then Craig Doyle will come and have a little natter with you. What are people saying and what's going on, guys? What's your thoughts? And JB had behind him a computer screen with a topless Gavin Henson screensaver.
We picked a bad round of matches, that one, didn't we? It's like the rubber.
It was the dead rubber matches.
I had the pleasure of watching Exeter Newcastle.
Away at Newcastle.
The worst game. Yeah. Both couldn't compete for anything. Stuart Lancaster, for some reason, turned up to watch that game.
He soon went.
Well,
waste of time.
Anything but dead rubbers. There is so much on the line in round 19 of the Aviva Premiership, and it kicks off on Friday night with Newcastle against Bath.
Tricky
away fixture. I mean, Newcastle have got nothing to play for. Bath have got everything to play for.
Bath will smash them. They'll absolutely ruin them.
But Newcastle, easier weekend. Bath, obviously, travelling over to Leinster.
I don't care. Bath will smash them. They have too much pace, not only in the backs, but all around.
I heard a fact, and I'll have to get Phil to work on this for the next podcast and to verify this. Newcastle have got the most pushover line-out tries out of any Premiership team.
To the lab, Phil.
Apparently. that's what I heard.
I'll investigate. I know they've got a couple of players. Mark Wilson's very near the top. I think he's second top on tackles behind Julian Salvi.
Really?
And Sonotti is right up there on meters made.
He's a cracking player.
Yeah, I don't know if he's top, but he's up there, meters made and line breaks as well.
And also another little fact for you, and this one, in the game against London Irish a couple of weeks ago, London Irish set a new Premiership record for tackles in a match.
Did they?
They were down to 14 men for practically half a game with the three or four yellow cards.
Oh, because cards are great.
And then they made something like 230 tackles in the match, which I think it's a Premiership record. So.
Wow.
Fact.
There you go. So Newcastle can attack, but maybe can't score the points, which is why I'm also going for a Bath win.
Bath win.
On to Saturday, Harlequins against Gloucester. This is basically whoever loses this has zero chance of sneaking seventh spot. The reality is probably neither side are going to get top seven.
Yeah.
But whoever wins has a sliver of hope.
Well, I don't think Gloucester do. I mean, Gloucester are pretty much done, I think.
Gloucester, who have a new kit manufacturer who's got in touch with us on the podcast, they heard the last podcast and said, we're taking over and things are going to be good. We're hoping for the full hoops and the old school
Navy shorts
and red
really
and white hoops.
Make that outfit sing.
But we will see. X-Blades are the new kit manufacturer.
I'm not confident a company with the name X-Blades are going to deliver the product that I want.
Well, traditionally.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Let's reserve judgment.
If you said that the local tailors, Smith and Hollingwood, are going to go and make the kits, I'm like, yeah, okay. But anyway, good luck, X-Blades. It's down to you now.
Quinn's at home, I'm going for.
Yeah, I think Quinn's at home should just about take it.
Saracens against Leicester. This is a meaty, meaty encounter. And again, Leicester, if they lose, Exeter could leapfrog them. Saracens, if they lose, they could technically be outside the top four, whoever loses this match.
Yes, yeah.
So is everything on the line? I think Saracens at home.
Don't forget that Leicester just had a rest, or will have just had a rest weekend, have just had a rest weekend when you listen
to this. True, and Saracens have got another big game. So Saracens have just had a big old match against Racing Metro. Leicester don't play.
I think Saracens just, I think that synthetic pitch will be too much. They've got a great squad, they can rotate.
I just think home, well balanced. I just think home, they'll sneak it.
Yes, I'll go with that as well. But if it's bad conditions, if it's pouring down, so the pitch will obviously be good, but if it's pouring down, I'd expect Leicester's pack to do enough.
That's a hell of a matchup. On to Sunday then, three more fixtures. Let's get the London Welsh one out of the way. London Welsh v Wasps, whatever. Exeter v Northampton, first place, fifth. Exeter at home, Northampton top and 10 points clear.
Sandy Park will be rocking, which means...
Yeah, it's going to be a hell of an atmosphere
Exeter
down there.
Exeter will win. Hear me now, believe me later.
It's going to be 3 points either way. I think Exeter as well. I think Exeter will do. They've actually got more to play for. Northampton have got that 10-point cushion at the top of the Premiership, so it matters less to them.
Northampton know they've got London Welsh in May as well.
Northampton basically have shut up shop now.
They can rest a few players, legitimately.
Northampton have got Leicester away, though, and Saracens at home, so they still, I think, have got to go. I think they'll be wanting to put the top spot to bed with this match. And I think they're going to really go for it. And I think they'll sneak it at Sandy Park.
Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Okay.
And London Irish against Sale.
Gritty match this, actually.
Yeah.
London Irish not really with anything to play for. Sale.
But they do have a fairly favourable running if they...
Two home games against Quins and Newcastle and an away game against Irish.
I think Sale will win this game. They've got more to play for.
Blind faith, I'm going Irish.
Sale
for me as well.
We will have a podcast to debate what went on, what the big stories of the coming week are, and react to those Premiership matchups. Just a quick mention, there's some Pro 12 fixtures going on, isn't there?
Yes. Go on, what are they?
Friday night, Benetton Treviso against Ospreys.
Yep, okay, next one.
Glasgow Cardiff Blues, that should be interesting.
Will it?
Well,
Glasgow, hey, smash another one. Them.
Connacht against Ulster.
Ulster, big win. Ulster have signed Charles Pietau.
Nice.
That's a All tidy black. Signing.
That is a great signing.
Do they have a load of salary cap space to spare or something? We must shovel this money out somehow.
Yeah. Gotta do something with it.
When they get 15,000-20,000 people every game at the Kingspan, Ravenhill.
Bad news about Ross Holding as well. Is it Ross
Stewart.
Holding?
Stewart
Holding, sorry. I used to play with a guy called Ross Aldroyd, that's why I got confused. Yeah.
What's the news about Stuart Alden?
He's out for 9 months, mate.
Is he?
Yeah.
Big Ulster fan, Phil.
Big Ulster fan.
Zebra Scarlets.
Why do we even... Every match we've mentioned so far is a big win, one way or the other. It's such a terrible league. It's awful.
Scarlets to win.
Scarlets, obviously.
All right, this one's interesting. Edinburgh Munster.
Wow, one game. Munster, big win.
Edinburgh at home to win.
and Leinster travel to the Dragons.
What an awful set of games.
They've arranged them. They must have arranged the easy games because it's sandwiched in between European Champions Cup.
Imagine actually if you were one of the bad teams playing Leinster. It's like, oh, right, is that how you rate us, is it?
Enjoy the rugby this weekend at Rugby Podcast. Check in with us on Twitter in between now and then. We'll be having a little natter about rugby on there. And subscribe to the podcast and we'll deliver the next one straight to you. Thank you very much for listening. Nice one, JB.
Goodbye, Tim.
Top work, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
In a bit.
I have got a little package.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.